now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show by Soaker Joe Show co-host Joe. I'm filling in for Alan today while he is on assignment. He's probably just honestly enjoying an extended Memorial Day weekend, taking a five-day weekend instead of a four-day weekend instead of a three-day one like the rest of us. I did my math badly there. However, if he were here with us today, he would give to you his mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. The Alan Nathan Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network these days, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for their continued support. Alan has been around the sponsorship battle for years prior to his affiliation with the Main Street Radio Network, so he understands that how big of a help that they are. And Alan, of course, he's the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist talk host in the country. Been around since 1998, Main Street Radio Network, been around since 2010. So that's 12 years there where Alan was fighting the good fight for sponsors and whatnot. So he gets it. He gets it. And we want to thank them. If you want to thank them, you can go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. I'm sure there's somewhere on the website that you can send in little emails saying, hey guys, you're terrific. Thanks a lot. Thank you for valuing and supporting the First Amendment. We appreciate how you stand up for the rights of people to say things within FCC guidelines. We love that so much, and we love your shows, and tell us more about yourselves. I don't know. Whatever you want to say to them, probably find the link to send them stuff at mainstreetradionetwork.com. They're also on social media, though. Facebook and Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network. Twitter at Main Street Radio. Well, Twitter/X. It's X now. But I got to call it Twitter, otherwise I could be talking about Mega Man X for all anyone knows. Or Mr. X, who, told us that there's a race of mole people under Denver. That's a Simpsons reference there. But anyway, you can also go to alannathan.com. Because after all, he's been around since 1998. It stands to reason he'd have his own website, alannathan.com, and his own social media, too, Twitter/X at alannathan. And you can also find podcasts for the show, previous versions, editions of the program, on mainstreetradionetwork.com and alannathan.com. And at this point, we want to thank the Salem Radio Network, too, for distributing this show. Now, at this point, Alan would give to you his pre-written subjects that are on social media, I started making it sound like Alan forgets to send the topics. I'm the one who forgets to send the topics. I'm the one with the memory issues here, folks, not Alan. His memory is like a steel trap encased in diamond. However, if I remembered to send these out, these are the topics that would be posted on social media. Alan read to his at this current time. I'm reading mine right here. After a threatening social media post against President Trump, former FBI Director Comey goes on MSNBC to threaten political persecutions against the rest of the GOP. Is this all Democrats have now? Also, from banning keys to honoring foreign human traffickers on Memorial Day weekend, we'll look at the policies that win over Democrat voters. Certainly not speeches, because my speech will not win over anyone if I stumble through it. So what happened with James Comey was this. Alan talked about it a little bit on the show last week, how he had that social media post, I think it was Instagram was the website that he posted it on, and it was this picture. He said, look what I found on the beach, seashells arranged to read 8647, which roughly translates to kill Trump. Now, some people might argue that, 86 means just to get rid of as opposed to kill, but that really doesn't hold weight because as former FBI director, you'd think James Comey would know that commonly it's used to also mean kill. And certainly, under the Trump administration, Trump was never given such benefits of the doubt when it came to numerical symbolism. I've repeatedly brought it up. I'll bring it up again. right after this alleged white supremacist mass shooting in El Paso, Texas in 2019. Trump had the flags at half-mast for the victims. Then he had the flags raised again on August 8th, and MSNBC was going how scandalous it was and how it was a dog whistle to white nationalists to raise the flags on August 8th because somehow that the date translated to Heil Hitler. Somehow they managed to get that from there, and they said, well, Trump should have been known better. He should have been advised by his national security people the symbolism of that date. So, logically, if someone should have known August 8th was associated with that, certainly James Comey would know what 86 is associated with. Or is it only Republicans who are supposed to know all the numerical symbolisms? Maybe they know the Bible code, too, if you all might recall those History Channel documentaries. But anyway, that's what he did. But then he goes on MSNBC, whatever the former White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, whatever her show is, Peppermint Patty, as my former housemate calls her, whatever her show is on MSNBC, that's where James Comey was. And he said, and he was, you know, trying to say, oh, well, I didn't mean anything by this post saying to get rid of Trump. And then he goes on to talk about how the Trump administration is removing this Office of Public Integrity. And this Office of Public Integrity, he says they'll regret removing because it's somehow or other stops the abuses of a president, at least according to him. See, I'm having problem understanding this concept and relating it to you all, because this is the same office who went after New York Mayor Eric Adams any time he came out against the Biden administration's immigration policies. So I'm sitting here wondering, well, what the hell is James Comey talking about that this office won't be involved in political prosecutions when that is actually all they're known for, political prosecutions? That's the biggest claim to fame. That's the only reason anyone has heard of them, is because of their political prosecutions of the New York City Mayor Eric Adams. So now he's saying, though, that because they're getting rid of it, the Trump administration was getting rid of it, now there's not going to be any guardrails against a future Democrat president, and they're going to go and get revenge. And they really should have just kept these career public officials in place to keep from being persecuted, even though they were already going to be persecuted, even though they already had done that. It makes sense if you're an MSNBC viewer, I guess, because you don't actually believe that anything is wrong when the government prosecutes someone anytime they speak out against the Biden administration. So, like, you know, in that framework, to that audience, I can understand why his statements would make sense, but they don't make sense to anyone who's actually paid attention to what's going on. It's like, and he's saying that, you know, all this talk about, oh, this is protecting them from the excesses, like protection like a racket, maybe, like in the mob sense, perhaps. You do the political equivalent of paying protection money, and maybe they don't come after you. Maybe. And again, this is coming right after the assassination threat against Trump that he made, so he's really, really upset here. I guess it's just indicative that Democrats are just, you know, losing power across the board, that they're going to these extremes. I mean, he's not the only one who's made threats. Gee whiz. I mean, didn't even start last year, but the first thing that came to mind was Congressman Charlie Raskin from Maryland, not to be confused with the late Congressman Charlie Rangel from New York. But Raskin from Maryland, he said outright that if Trump won the election, Republicans and Democrats, if they maintain the House of Representatives, they just wouldn't certify the election and would trigger a civil war. So that's where their threats start at. And then this year, they just get bigger and bigger. I mean, look at all the threats they've issued against DOGE. I mean, come on, back in February, you had that press conference where they're screaming about how D.C. is under siege and they need violence in the streets and what and all that. You had senators and congressmen out there saying these things, these wild and crazy things. Meanwhile, what has DOGE done? Just recently, they came up with 12.3 million people on Social Security over the age of 120. How do you get to that? You know, these are people who were coming up on America's 250th anniversary next year. These are people who remember the 150th anniversary. These are people who were in their 20s for the 150th anniversary of the country, and now we're coming up on the 250th one soon. And we're supposed to be, what, great? Supposed to just let them sit on Social Security, possibly take payments? Actually, according to Breitbart, one of the problems is these Social Security numbers even though Democrats say they're not active, actually they are assigned to illegal immigrants. So they aren't. So that is where you get this figure of $100 billion being saved by doing this. Suppose Democrats say, oh, the numbers are inactive, they're just in the system because it's too complicated to fix, even though actually it was pretty easy for Doge to fix it. They just searched the... They just did a massive search and closed the accounts. That was pretty simple. They've done it in the first 130 days in office, so it does seem like a pretty easy thing to solve. But Democrats are simultaneously saying it's too complex to handle, and also it's not a big deal, and the numbers are, and the Social Security numbers are inactive, even though they're being assigned to illegal immigrants, and we're being saved over $100 billion. And, you know, in terms of government money, that might not sound like much to the rest of you, but two things here. Number one, that's like 20% of our interest payments on our national debt per year that we're saving. So that's a pretty big number when it's applied correctly. And number two, if all of these numbers are assigned to illegal immigrants eventually, and they start withdrawing what the minimum they're allowed, like if you retired at 62, well, that's over $417 billion that they can be taking out. And that is almost all of our annual national debt payments so far, 80% of it. More Alan Nathan Show coming up after this break.
It's no secret that everyone wants to live a healthier life, but how many of us really do what it takes to make that happen? A new book lays out easy steps you can take to bring you closer to that goal. Dr. Brian Clement is the author of Quantum Human, an easy-to-read guide to wellness that provides a historic and scientifically validated roadmap on how to stop aging, prevent disease, and getting the most out of life.
Our many years of research have led us to realize how important it is to pay attention to our foods, our thoughts, and the activities we participate in. And more important is our relationships and sense of community.
Dr. Clement's message is one of empowerment. He says that each of us can harness energy and raise our biofrequency through conscious actions. And by doing so, we can heal ourselves and contribute to a more harmonious and connected world.
It's no mystery in Quantum Human we have explored the science of energy healing and the human potential and show how everyone can improve their lives and take their health back.
For more information, visit BrianClementPhD.com.
Funko's iconic pop collectibles, the vinyl figures with large signature heads inspired by pop culture characters and celebrities across film, TV, music, sports, and more, are a global sensation. Now, Funko's custom Pop Yourself line offers everyone a chance to create personalized pop replicas of themselves, friends, and loved ones. Skip the boring gifts this season and give dads and grads the gift of Pop Yourself, a personalized gift that's just as unique as they are. Graduation gowns and Father's Day accessories are just a few of the options to personalize your perfect pop. Jen Han, Funko's general manager of Pop Yourself.
Pop Yourself is more than a gift. It's a custom-made tribute. We're delighted to offer everyone the opportunity to create a personalized, thoughtful gift. So ditch the mug or gift card and give your dad or grad a fun, unforgettable keepsake.
Try Pop Yourself to commemorate special moments such as Father's Day, birthdays, baby reveals, or just about anything. To create your Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show. Co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he's on assignment. And we are joined for this segment by Scott Miller. He worked as a pediatric physician's assistant at the beginning of COVID in Washington State until the medical establishment clamped down on his successful treatments. And his new book is titled The Most Dangerous Man in Washington. Scott Miller, happy having the show. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you. And, you know, they just announced a new variant of COVID has been discovered. It's like they're trying to find the next new disease, and they're having contests for it. Of course, there's the new variants of COVID that come out, but then there's also measles and bird flu.
Exactly. You know, the way I looked at it early on, Anthony Fauci, they were very good. They've been really good at telling us what they're going to try and do, what they're going to do. And, you know, they're not secret about it. We're in 2025, and what I find is still most people aren't prepared.
Yeah, not expecting anything. I'm still seeing people who, you know, they won't even talk to you unless you can prove that you've been vaccinated. And there's people going around, still going around in public alone in their car with a mask on, even though we're 4 years after knowing at the very least that is not something that really matters.
Well, the problem is it's still, I've been battling the state of Washington for quite some time. And when you look at their, you know, quote unquote, top expert medical, you know, medical experts, they're still stuck in this mindset that the hospital protocols are safe and effective, that remdesivir is the only viable treatment in the hospital. They have not shifted with the science. It's crazy.
Yeah, I thought they were the ones saying that they were the science and that they represent the science. Why aren't they moving along with it?
Well, because there's still an agenda.
Yeah, they still get their kicks from spreading fear, I guess, and also their profits. And certainly if you're handling the COVID, the next pandemic or the current pandemic or just whatever in a way that doesn't profit the pharmaceutical industry or the hospitals, you're not really helping out their cause, and that they have no reason to change their protocols if they're working for their profit as it is.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. I was on a phone call yesterday. I do a lot of hospital advocacy, and I was talking with a daughter. Her mom is in the hospital. She was diagnosed with COVID on the 1st or 2nd of May. She was transferred care yesterday, and when she got to the new hospital, they re-swabbed her and still said she had COVID, which is, it just doesn't make any sense. And so they didn't tell her how many times it was cycled. She doesn't have active COVID, but it was limiting the care she would get. And fortunately, the doctor was very compliant, and we were able to get her whole medication and treatment regimen, we'll say altered to one that will actually help her get better and leave the hospital. But it took me talking to a doctor for 25 minutes to reason through which therapies and medications to give and why. And fortunately they acquiesced, and her breathing improved and she started doing better. But it's the medical system is, or especially the hospitals, are still stuck in the, you know, 2020, 2021, 22 era. And it's shocking to see, and it's scary.
Well, it just also sounds like the doctors aren't really interested in doing their job beyond checking off a list of things to do, not actually trying to help the patient, just going through the motions almost.
It really is like, it's like a pre-flight checklist. They literally have the boxes that they check off They know those boxes are you know, correspond to different codes for reimbursement. And outside of that, it can be very difficult to get them to, I don't even call it, you know, get experimental, just thoughtfully working through, you know, inflammatory pathways. I will sit there and guide them through it. And you have to make it as though it's their idea and get them to be on board. But it's shocking to see there is no longer, in what I've seen in maybe 1,800 hours of hospital advocacy calls, I don't see any critical thinking anymore.
How much is it then can be attributed to the mindset of the medical industry in general that's still stuck in 2020, as you said, and how much is just the education these physicians are receiving possibly being of lower quality than it was in the past?
You know, I don't know. I can tell you when I was practicing, I was a preceptor, so I had students with me all the time. And what I can say is what I was seeing from the education they were getting, it's almost like you're penalized for thinking. I don't even like to say thinking outside of the box. I look at it as critical thinking. It's almost like they're not allowed to anymore. And with AI coming into play in the training of practitioners, I've done a ton of systems tests on this, asking AI, number of different platforms, medical questions that one might consider a little more, outside of what we've been told by our top medical experts. And it's programmed in, the dogma is programmed into these, you know, into these systems. So it is kind of scary.
So not only are the physicians not thinking through, they're just going through the checklists, but if then they're talking like asking the computer is going to be some extreme change when really asking the computer, it's programmed with the same dang checklist.
It really is. And they're also so programmed. When the state came after me, the biggest things they were hammering me on was, well, what double-blind randomized trials did you look at that led you to the conclusions of the therapies that I used? And I had this discussion with the state, with the attorney general, and I finally started getting a little sarcastic after 5 days of getting grilled. And, you know, it was like, how many patients does it take for somebody to go, maybe this works? Was it after the first 100 that I treated, 500, 1,000? Once you get into 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 500,000, or 5,000 people that we saw dramatic turnaround with the therapies I was using, am I supposed to stop using those because a study said it wasn't effective? How is that critical thinking? And it doesn't matter. They always go back to, well, we need the studies. We need to have these, you know, controlled studies to make sure that what we're doing is safe and effective.
Yeah, it really seems set in that mindset. Not only that, though, but it didn't seem like we had much in the way of studies when they started advocating policies. Like, where was the study on lockdowns for COVID, the policy, the study on masking for COVID, the study on the COVID vaccines before they were mandated?
Yeah, there were none. And when they were advocating and pushing it through for the pediatric population, the studies were done on 8 mice. That's the study they did. It's shocking how little, and there's no informed consent. The public isn't told, you know, what's been done to verify that these are safe and effective.
Well, Scott Miller, where can we get a copy of your book, The Most Dangerous Man in Washington? We got like 20 seconds left here.
It is currently on Amazon.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. Again, the book is The Most Dangerous Man in Washington. I want to thank its author, Scott Miller, for being on the program. And listeners, we got more show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
May is Small Business Month, and TikTok is supporting entrepreneurs at a time when they need it most with their nationwide program, Small Biz Fest. TikTok is giving away $1 million in ad credits and one-on-one support to local businesses to help them reach new audiences and increase sales. Esme Lean, TikTok's head of small and medium business.
TikTok has become the go-to platform for business owners looking to grow their audiences and to be discovered by new customers across the nation. At TikTok, we're focused on supporting our thriving community of 7.5 million businesses. And this May, we celebrate Small Biz Fest as the next step in our year-long commitment to support and supercharge entrepreneurs.
TikTok is also launching free educational resources to help businesses launch, market, and grow on the platform. To learn more about the ad credit giveaway and how to kickstart your journey on TikTok, visit TikTokSmallBizFest.com.
Circle K Fuel Day is back. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend, customers can save up to 40 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time on Thursday, May 22nd. The discount is applied directly at the pump, so customers can enjoy their savings seamlessly. Your purchase will also have an added benefit. To honor our veterans ahead of Memorial Day, 10% of profits will be donated to the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, helping military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. As people hit the road over the long weekend, customers can stretch their dollars and help give back to veterans with Circle K Fuel Day. With 5,800 Circle K locations across the U.S. participating in the Fuel Day, mark your calendar to get your discount while supplies last. To find the closest local Circle K store offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/fuel-day.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay. Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and Adkin.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show. Co-host Joe filling in for Al today while he is on assignment. So, getting to my other topic today about the policy winners that Democrats think that they have, where are their heads right now? Let's take a look. California Democrats tried to make it a misdemeanor to pay 16, 17-year-old boys for sex, for men, adult men, to pay them for sex. It's still a felony for an adult male to pay a girl that age. No one is thinking of withdrawing their protections just yet. But what more can we expect from the state where they downgrade it from felony to misdemeanor to deliberately infect someone with AIDS? That's basically attempted murder, because unless you can afford medical care, you're dead. But Democrats did that years ago, and none of their voters in California complained, just as none are complaining about make it easier to traffic gay male teens. They grow up to vote Democrats, so it's okay, I guess. Actually, statistically, 25%. Now, this could have changed, because this is from 10 years ago when I read it, but about a quarter of the gay community were assaulted by a gay male when underage, so maybe Democrats figure this is how to get more voters and donors, because gays generally vote Democrat. I'm not being flippant, that may sound outrageous, but so is trying to decriminalize trafficking minors and using AIDS as a bioweapon. And now, going on the opposite coast, we have Democrats complaining about this conflict of interest between America's 250th anniversary celebration and Juneteenth. So, in Norfolk, Virginia, next year, they're going to have this big celebration for America's 250th anniversary. Norfolk's a pretty historic location for the country, and currently it's the world's largest Navy base, so of course, you expect there to be something done for this country's 250th anniversary, right? Well, according to the city council, at least one member of the city council, it's an absolutely terrible idea because some of their celebrations could interfere with Juneteenth. And there's, like, this thing that's been in the works for years for the 250th anniversary that just happens to interfere with the Juneteenth celebrations. It would bring in $150 million to the city, which has 39.8% black population, mind you, but they want to take away that $150 million for that population because it might interfere with the Juneteenth celebrations. I guess that's a real winner for them. And they prefer Juneteenth over America's 250th anniversary because, of course, I mean, you got the Black National Anthem, now you have the Black Independence Day. It's almost like they're trying to create a separate country within this one that taxpayers for America have to pay for some reason. And anyway, also, speaking of taxpayer-funded things, you have a Democrat congressman who gets taxpayer money for his paycheck, Glenn Ivey in Maryland. You know what he did for his Memorial Day weekend? He didn't go around honoring fallen soldiers or the families of the fallen soldiers. No, he went on to El Salvador to pay a visit to Kilmer Garcia. He values him more than fallen Americans. Maybe that's because dead Americans always vote Democrat, so he doesn't have to worry about that constituency. Now, he was denied access when he went down there, but he probably got a nice vacation out of it. I mean, if he was just honest and said, hey, guys, sorry for your losses on Memorial Day. We honor the veterans and fallen, blah, blah, blah. I'm packing up to take this 3-day weekend to go on vacation in El Salvador. You could forgive that. But no, he said he's gonna make it a working trip because he's going to visit a MS-13 human trafficker instead of honoring fallen Americans because, in the Democrat framework, human traffickers are superior to Americans. You know, they say that Trump said that dead Americans were suckers and losers, but it sounds like Democrats are the ones who think that because they go and party with MS-13 members or try to, rather than honoring fallen Americans. Anyway, speaking of other things to happen Memorial Day weekend, you had the mayor of Chicago. He chose that weekend to declare Happy Africa Day. Now, a day before he did that, Julius Malema, the leader of a major South African political party, again reaffirmed the genocide that they're calling for by leading a crowd and chants demanding that genocide. Now, his party owns a tenth of South Africa's legislative branch. Now, that might sound like a minority party for people in America, but the South African legislative is a little bit different. There are 18 parties vying for control. So even with 17 competitors, this party that is based on genocide has a tenth of the legislature. With 17 competitors. That's pretty impressive. That means they're very popular. I wonder why they're very popular. Maybe it's the cause for genocide. Now, I talked a little on my last weekend show, about how the liberal media downplayed it. But there's a fun clip of dozens of allegedly independent journalists. They're all out there saying Trump ambushed the South African president by playing a video of these calls for genocide. And then right after he does that, you get more calls for genocide, again, by the leader of the party that owns a tenth of South Africa's legislative branch when there's 18 parties altogether. That's pretty significant. Now, in Seattle... Moving on, in Seattle, the mayor smeared a Christian group for daring to express their beliefs in a protest that they had permits for. And they demand, and this protest had been attacked by left-wing activists, like physically attacked. There wasn't just a counter-protest of equal number. There were also actual violent extremists there attacking the Christians. And the mayor of Seattle demanded that the Seattle Police Department explain to him why they arrested the violent left-wing protesters who were physically attacking the Christian protesters. He also wanted an investigation into how the city dared to allow the Christian group the right to free speech under his watch. Their First Amendment right to assemble and to speak, he was upset that they had it, and he demanded an explanation for that too. And actually, he blamed the Christian group for the left-wing rioters. Like, he didn't say the Christians were violent. He said the Christians were evil for inspiring the violence against them. Meanwhile, in Massachusetts, you have the Senate Majority Leader Cynthia Stone Cream, that's a pretty long name, introduce a bill to create a commission that will eventually try to figure out how to reduce the amount of miles driven by residents with the aim of banning cars to save the Earth from climate change. And in Minnesota... This is what I mentioned in the topics. They passed a law basically banning keys. Much the same way Democrats try to tax bullets and gun parts to make them unaffordable, they are banning certain metals commonly used in keys to make it impossible to lock your house up for when their voters rob you or want to cause harm to you, but without actually saying they're banning keys. Oh, we're not banning keys. We're just banning everything you need to make a key. But what else can we conclude? You can't even get a handgun or an AR without a permit from the local police chief in Minnesota, and now they ban keys, so you can't lock anything up either. Now, there is no good alternative to the metals Democrats in Minnesota are banning. Other metals either will rust, are much harder to shape, so the process would be a hell of a lot more expensive and require overhauls in the machines that they use, if not new machines entirely, but also metals could be too weak as well. So this is the best alternative, and there was nothing given for reforming the industry at all in order to make it keep the prices the same for your new keys or whatever. It's just the way the legislation is written. All keys will be illegal on July. Just within a month or a month and a half, if you have a key, it's illegal now in Minnesota. And they didn't bother coming up with anything to ease in the bans or anything like that, so that's where they are. I gotta ask, might we have expected something similar with Tim Walz as vice president? A nationwide ban on any way to defend your home, whether it's guns or locking the damn door. Is that the sort of thing that Democrats want nationwide? Certainly the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, who signed this bill into law banning keys and hadn't done anything to reform the gun laws either. Well, if that is any indication of what Democrats wanted when they had him as vice president, they say we dodged the bullet and dodged the key thief too. So to summarize here, Democrats at the local level have condemned Christian protesters and chilled police from protecting them, praised genocide on Memorial Day weekend, tried to visit an MS-13 human trafficker outside the country on Memorial Day weekend, worked on banning cars, tried to make it only a misdemeanor to traffic gay teens, and declared it controversial to celebrate America's 250th anniversary instead of Juneteenth. Boy. And also, it really... And banned keys. I did not say that in the summary either. So banned keys as well. They've been pretty busy for people who don't have the government like they wish they had. Now, can you imagine for a moment if these people had actually won the election? Would we be seeing all this stuff happening nationwide? Would you suddenly have your keys illegal nationwide? Would there be commissions on banning cars? I mean, we kind of saw this sort of stuff creeping in with the Biden administration, how they had the electric vehicle mandates, but they also had the attempts to control what appliances you're allowed to have in your household. So effectively banning all these appliances by gradually limiting what you're allowed to purchase until what you're allowed to purchase either doesn't work or isn't worth it. And eventually, you know, they're going to go after that, too. We saw that with the damn light bulbs. Remember under the Obama administration, they banned halogen light bulbs And eventually that ban took effect. And the very day that ban took effect, this was like a couple years ago that the ban finally took effect. I guess they gave it like 10 years or whatever to work through. But the very day that the ban finally took effect, guess what? The news media started attacking LED light bulbs. So you're not allowed to have damn light bulbs. You're not allowed to burn stuff in your fireplace either, according to the left, because of climate change. So now you're not allowed to have keys in Minnesota, not allowed to have guns either. What are you even allowed to have? Can you at least have a mud hut to live in, or do you have to just lay out in the open under the elements? Now, you know the politicians aren't affected by this. I mean, gee whiz, Kamala Harris, while running for president, bragged about having a gun that was most likely banned in California, where she lives. Anyway, folks, we got more Al Nathan Show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. That's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
May is Stroke Awareness Month and a chance to remind people that fast action could save lives. Neurologist Dr. Kendrick Johnson with more.
When it comes to stroke, every second counts. That's why we encourage people to remember the signs using the FAST acronym: face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and time to call 911. The good news is that stroke management has come a long way. In addition to medication, procedures like mechanical thrombectomy can remove clots from the brain and may improve recovery if done quickly.
For more, visit penumbrainc.com/stroke.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup, lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silk Joe Show co-host Joe, sitting with you all today. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. And while we wait for our current guest, I'm just going to go into a totally different topic, so we'll stand by for whiplash if I have to segue from it. Anyway, so I just went over in the last segment all the policies that the Democrats have that are so popular with the public and their voters, but you might be wondering, though, why is the GOP losing? They have this string of special election losses here recently. And there are several possibilities, though. Voter fraud, of course, is one such possibility. And, how many of those places are flooded with illegal immigrants with no voter ID rules or nothing that wasn't easily circumvented? Number two, Democrats say it's because Trump's agenda is unpopular, but he's polling at 55% right now, and literally the only polls that show Trump is unpopular are the ones where they don't ask Republicans, as we saw with New York Times and Washington Post, with their 35%-ish sample rate of Republicans versus 65% sampling of Democrats in their polls to finally get a poll that shows Trump underwater. Now, taken in combination with possible vote rigging, that seems to make sense, actually. Cover for the vote rigging by rigging polls, too. And also a third possibility here, though, is that there's no GOP enthusiasm because their local candidates suck or because they are complacent that Trump will fix everything, so why turn out to vote? Now, none of these look good, and where the heck is the GOP on these issues, right? It seems like the GOP is sleeping, paving the way for the establishment candidates to return or for the party to be destroyed, one or the other. They see Democrats self-destructing on a national scale and think they need to do the same to play fair, I guess. Or maybe they figure that the Democrats need to become radical leftists to aggressively make up for all the damage Trump did to the uniparty agenda. So you just got to get these radicals in to pound it out faster than otherwise would have. So the GOP is destroying itself to make way for this radical left because they both want to destroy America. Now, as you may have guessed, I have no love for the GOP establishment. If we can keep them busy for a little while till the old guard dies, that'd be great. The youngsters may be just as crooked, but might actually think the radical left is a threat to their profits. Now, all this might be advanced cynicism. It could just be that the GOP is hoping that a destroyed Democrat Party will not be able to resist a lukewarm candidate like, say, a Jeb Bush, and they're willing to lose many elections in the midterms to do it, with the goal being a sweep of 2028 with Jeb Bush or Liz Cheney, because the Democrat Party was too weak and splintered, but the GOP will spin it as an end to the Trump era and back to business as usual. Like maybe they figure that all these candidates are winning in local races and special elections, and they can use that to blame Trump and say, well, it's Trump's fault, that's where the party's enthusiasm is, blah, blah, blah. Look at all these voters he pulled in from the Democrat Party. They're not going to turn out for the local races. They just turned out for Trump alone. And then, or they could say that his ideology, when he finally got into office, alienated everyone that voted for him. You know, they could come up with any number of excuses and explanations, and the media would just repeat them because it's what they want to hear, that the GOP is weak and that it's big Trump's fault. So then this paves the way for 2028, where they can say, well, look at all the elections that we lost over the last couple of years, and we can now replace all this with all this Trumpism is dead. Now we can replace it with a more establishment-friendly candidate. Anyway, talking about something totally different, as a matter of fact, we're going overseas to Ukraine. We are joined by Captain Douglas Ernest, U.S. Army retired, Desert Storm veteran, as well as an entrepreneur and author of The Spirit of a True Patriot, the inspiring story of retired Captain Douglas J. Ernest. Captain Ernest, happy to have on the show again. How are you today?
Hey, thank you for having me on the show today. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yep, glad to have you. So what do you make of this seemingly upscaling of the conflict in Ukraine with the Germany's chancellor, I forgot the Y in there, with Germany's chancellor saying there's going to be no limits on long-range weapons for Ukraine? You know, that means basically they're sending Ukraine the weapons needed to strike at Moscow or deep in Russia, and I don't think Putin's going to like that.
You know, the events that have transpired over the last few days have been the absolute worst nightmare you could propose. It's actually worse than what we've been going through for the last few years, because you're bringing other nations into the conflict instead of trying to find a way to de-escalate. And this started with Putin sending these long-range missiles in, and we were trying to de-escalate and tone things down, and the rhetoric continued by Volodymyr Zelensky, and the rhetoric has become extremely heating, and I believe the Trump administration has a huge seat on their hands to try to de-escalate this and maybe find a way to release some of the tension that's been brought to both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I almost wonder, though, like, why are both sides thinking that escalation to the point where what do both sides think they can win by escalating like they're doing?
You know, we have had 1 million people killed and injured. We've had economic disparity around the world. This has affected nations around the world. President Trump administration, the Biden administration, a tremendous amount of resources have been paid by the American people to the tune of around $190 billion, and the time commitment that we've invested to try to de-escalate. So it's one of these things I write about in the book, The Spirit of a True Patriot. Once the inertial forces of war start, it is so hard to stop. So that's why you always try to find a way to attain peace before you allow nations to go head to head, because most wars don't end by negotiating peace. Most wars end by the destruction of the other side. So we have to always find a way to bring peace. And right now, it is absolutely awful what's going on over in this part of the world. But we do have some tensions in that area, because we've also seen something come out from Berlin today that the finance minister was clashing with the Chancellor Merz over what the country talking about lifting restrictions against Russia and so forth. All I know is you're going to see this on the news story for the next week, day in and day out, until they find a way to give a little bit of relief, because it's escalating and it's escalating and it's escalating. And we all know Putin does not think with logic. He does not use his head nor his heart. He just goes full speed ahead, no stopping and charging. And the Germans are about ready to draw themselves into the conflict by providing weapons and allowing long-range missiles to be able to hit Russia. Mm.
And, you know, it seems like just the Western leaders in general are, you know, sending mixed messages of their own to Putin that could be emboldening him. Like, for example, how for years the European Union, even though they're condemning Russia for invading Ukraine, they're still paying Russia for their energy. And then you have, you know, empty threats, too, like the UK, for example, saying, oh, we'll send soldiers into Ukraine if we have to. But you actually look at UK's strength, they could field a force for like a month, and then they're out of luck. They don't have anything they can really do. So Putin's looking at the empty threats, the empty rhetoric, looking at these people that are still paying him for energy, and he might and then suddenly they're sending weapons to Ukraine. He might be thinking that it's, you know, a feint on their part, so to speak. Well, we're almost out of time, so you get the final word on this.
You know, a great point that you mentioned was there is no defense in Europe. Europe's 100% dependent on the United States to defend Europe. They don't have the resources to play games with Russia. So we have to find a way to amicably bring this to an end. I call on the Trump administration to do their best to put out these fires and at least bring us back to where we were a week or two ago, so that we can have peace in that area and there'll be no more death and destruction.
All right, Captain Douglas Ernest, appreciate you being on the Alan Nathan Show. Again, listeners, his book is titled The Spirit of a True Patriot, and our websites are MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and AlanNathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.